Hello and welcome to Topicality, the podcast where we pick a topic and we beat it to death. With me, as always, is Jacqueline Dunham and Michael Begale. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Jackie. Hello, Michael. Okay, this week's topic is in honor of the 2012 London Olympics, which started last week with an amazing opening ceremony, and it is competition, competitiveness. What do you guys think?
If I may make a little point, actually, they've been saying Olympiad instead of Olympics this year. I don't know if you guys have noticed this in the broadcasting. And I was just wondering if you guys knew why, because I don't. And I was wondering if that's like a new politically correct thing.
Maybe because it's present tense. I don't know.
They only say Olympiad now instead of Olympics. They're not saying like they're competing at the Olympics. They're saying Olympiad.
Again, I don't have cable, so I'm not privy to...
Yeah, I was just, Mike, do you know
I think it's probably the proper term, right, to refer to the event as the Olympiad as opposed to the Olympics, because that, when you think about it, doesn't make a lot of sense. Olympics.
Yeah.
It's just like weird, and I Olympic, noticed it. Olympics.
Events.
So you guys, let's start at the beginning. Did you guys see the opening ceremony?
Yes.
Yes, I watched it earlier.
I watched it live.
This afternoon.
You watched it today, which is about a week late. But congratulations on getting around to it.
Well, you see, the advantage was I could watch the interesting part and fast forward through all the flags coming in.
But there's nothing after that. Once the flags come in, that's pretty much it.
I didn't see
what
happened.
The ending part wasn't great either.
Yeah. Well,
but up until that point...
it was awesome.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was so cynical about the Olympics beforehand. I was like, who cares? Just a bunch of people playing sports. I'm like, it should just be like people playing sports. No one should even watch it. And then I saw the opening ceremonies. And I was like, I'm so amped for the Olympics.
Nice.
I couldn't help myself.
A
so you went
late.
From that cranky guy, get off my lawn, to everybody on my lawn. Everybody sit on my lawn.
Didn't you watch the Vancouver ones, though? Weren't you
equally
hyped for those?
That opening ceremony was also
amazing. Don't think I watched the opening ceremonies for Vancouver.
It was great. I actually thought it was better than London.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. It was more.
I find that hard to believe.
You should watch it. You should go and download and watch it. I'm serious.
Okay,
I thought it was better to.
As far as I was concerned, that was like one of the best things I've watched, like live events on TV.
I was going to say, is it because it was live, what they were able to do in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to you know, everything that was happening.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
What was your favorite segment?
Mine was the foundry, the forging of one of the Olympic rings. And then all five of them sort of fly in together.
Ditto.
Meet up.
Yeah, me too.
Foundry all the way. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched it, you need to go to ctvolympics.ca and watch the Olympic ceremonies.
And today we're sponsored, of course, by CTV.
Well, they're the only ones who have it, man. That's another issue about competition.
What did you guys think
Monopoly.
Of the part with the youth thing when they were talking about pop culture, you know, and they had like the text messaging and they were
the big house party.
Yeah.
And then the love between...
No, I thought that was weird. That was like a really weird part I found.
There's a couple of that and the...
Like those text message things that kept popping
up. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I saw what they were going for. It doesn't resonate with me, but it's still
good. I mean,
I found that a weird part in it.
Well,
I don't know. I just remember liking
it's like modern British society or whatever.
Well, it's supposed to be talking about like a younger generation too, I think, like how it's changed, like communication and I don't know.
Most I actually liked that, but the one part I didn't really like was the Mary Poppins, and it was.
I liked Mary Poppins coming in.
What do they call the health system over there?
NHS.
It was like a tribute to NHS.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little weird.
I liked it.
I thought that was good.
Wait, what part did you think was weird?
Just the whole thing with the beds lighting up and
why
creating like a half moon.
I liked it.
It was a little creepy. And then those, like, the Mary Poppins flying down. And
I liked that it was creepy.
Yeah, me too. I thought
because
it was
good. If you look at those, like, British children's books and stuff,
they're
not afraid to creep you the hell out as a kid. You know, and I don't know. Other stuff, maybe, like, I don't want to just call it America, but American, like, children's entertainment, it's not as frightening. I think kids should be frightened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny, as I was watching that, because all the children were volunteers, and if I expected a lot more children to look at the camera, just to see where the camera was,
oh, yeah.
And I was waiting for like a child to look over and say, "Oh yeah, there's the camera. Don't look at it. But none of the children looked at the camera. That was
amazing.
They were
well-trained.
They are well-trained. I imagine the director said to them, do not look at the camera.
Rehearsed.
Whatever you do, this breaks the fourth wall, and it ruins the illusion. And, of course, the director, Danny Boyle, who directed the opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a great job. Yeah.
You know what I thought, which I did not like, was you know how they had that song at the Vancouver Olympics? That was like, I believe, yeah. And then how they got the same girl or
repurposed
the same
it.
Composer and like repurposed it and did it again. And it sounds so similar for this Olympics.
But the best part like, was they were being interviewed by the CBC and they were explaining like the new version. Mm-hmm. And they talked for like 10 minutes on how this was their motivation. And this is I'm like, really?
It's the same song. Yeah. You just changed some of the lyrics. Because it was that song that they played all last Olympics for
I
the band.
Yeah.
And it played over and over again. Well, they just revamped it and changed a few words kind of like.
When did that play? I don't remember.
It's been playing throughout the Olympics, but not as much. And I've noticed that they've toned it down. So maybe because there were people that were complaining about it or didn't like it as much. I'm not sure.
But if, that song was so popular, you can't blame them for.
I know, but like, it's a new Olympics, like, and it's a summer one. Like, come up with something new. I don't know. It's like, just be a bit more creative. Like, you don't need, no need to beat a dead horse. you know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. So,
so you're saying, what should they do with the dead horses?
Speaking of horses, Mike and I were talking about the equestrian events that's causing quite the.
Yeah.
Quite the stir with everyone falling off their horses.
Apparently, it's pretty difficult, mm-hmm. the cross country stuff.
One of our Canadians.
She got a concussion.
A concussion, yeah. And some sort of like sprain or something in her spine.
And how did she fall off? Did the horse buck her off or did she just.
You know what's funny about that? The cameras didn't catch it.
No. Nope.
So there's no replays. That one section of the course, there's no video footage of it. So they don't.
I think she was going like around a turn or something and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something
maybe the
happened.
Horse got skittish.
But apparently, like, quite a number of equestrians have fallen.
Yeah, I believe all the Canadians in that event fell off their horses.
Well, can you blame them? I mean, they are wild animals. You mm-hmm. can.
Well, that's what they were saying, that maybe the horses are getting a little skittish because they're not used to that.
The crowds.
Yeah, that number of people watching them and making that noise and everything, that they're maybe nervous and stuff.
So we have, as of today, we have 4 medals. The U.S. has 23. What do you think of that? Now, we had such a good showing in the Winter Olympics, as you remember, in Vancouver.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like Canada doesn't have the population that some of these other countries, like, you know, Russia or China or the U.S. even, like.
Nor the budget.
Nor the budget. So, I mean, we don't have, like, as many athletes to choose from. So it is, like, you know, that does make a big difference. The number of people in your country is going to make a huge difference in who gets to go to the Olympics, so.
Do you feel bad that Romania has more medals than we do?
They're a much warmer.
Thailand.
Are they warmer?
Yeah.
Romania?
Romania? Yeah, they're.
I don't know. And they care a lot about gymnastics in Romania.
Hey, at least we're still ahead of Qatar.
Yes. Qatar?
Qatar? Isn't it Qatar?
No.
Is it Qatar? Like Qatar? I thought I heard someone say Qatar the other day on the on the broadcast.
Yeah, right now it's actually China and U.S. are tied with 23 medals.
Wow.
And then Japan, France, South Korea, Italy.
I was telling Mike earlier that I was laughing because the amount of coverage for our athletes, our bronze medal athletes on Canadian networks is probably so different than if you think about, like, you know, an American network, because they have so many medal winners and so many people on the podium that they don't even have time to go into these long interviews. And, like, you know, every day they have so many people winning medals. So I was laughing because we have these huge, long in-studio interviews and, like, so much glory and repetition about our bronze medals, like the 4 of them, versus them. They probably don't even, like, talk to the bronze medals. Like, they don't have time. There's, like, gold only. We're only giving coverage to the gold winners.
Do we have the same number of bronzes as China?
We have. Where's our medal?
We have 4.
We have 4 bronzes. Yes, and China has 4. So we are just as good at third place as the largest
Chinese.
Country in the world. Not the largest. Well, the most amount of people in the country.
I have 2 points about the medals table here. I noticed it's sorted by number of medals.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take into account exactly if they're gold, silver, or bronze. I think it should rank you by number of golds first.
It does, actually. China's first with 13 gold.
They do have that as a tally as
well. Yeah, but they're tied for first.
Oh, I see. So you think...
I'm saying
But there are tallies that do have that do that as well.
But that's the official medals table.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the official TSN medals table.
Yeah, well, number of golds is what counts first, right? I mean, if in any competition, you want to be first, not third. Not that third's not a great accomplishment for our athletes, but I'm saying you want first. And so if they're counting who's the best country, it's the one with the most golds at sports.
If you had a really, if you were in a really awful relationship with a depressed girl and you're having a cutting competition, you would not want to come first. Or Russian roulette. Those are two examples of competitions that you do not want to come first. So
you don't want to finish first in Russian roulette.
You don't want to finish first.
But you want to win.
But you want to win. Okay, you're right. Yeah.
It's not a race, though.
Michael Phelps, he is now at 19 medals. He's the most decorated Olympian of all time. The most decorated swimmer of all time. What do you think of that?
Good on him.
Yeah,
good
that's on exciting. Him. Although he has, you know, he has some stiff competition this year with his teammate Ryan Lochte and the I don't know the French guy's name, but he just came up the rear. This is the French swimmer. Agnes, or something? It's like a weird... Is Agnel, I think his name is?
Is this the one that beat him in the 200
meters?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, he's doing well.
He was on the same team that they just won the 200-meter relay.
Some pretty... I don't know. It's just some upsets happening, which makes it kind of exciting.
How can you say came up the rear and yet nobody
and you started out with stiff. You said stiff and came up the rear.
You know what's funny? I was really conscious of that both times there, and I just kept on going. I can't help that, like, who I'm talking to just has their minds in the gutter.
Just saying. You're allowed to laugh on this podcast.
Well, you guys could have done the laughing. I was just speaking the way I speak.
So what events have you watched, Mike?
So far, I've watched ladies gymnastics, artistic team gymnastics.
Yes, and the women's from the U.S., they won today.
Mm-hmm. Did they come first?
Yeah,
they did. First, yeah.
By a lot.
They beat China, which China was favored.
China didn't even go on the podium. Nothing.
China looked really good.
Uh-huh.
The part that I was watching. I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't know. Not that interested, really. But it was like they seemed really good. Canada seemed okay. I can't really tell the difference between really good gymnastics and, like, average gymnastics.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Don't step out of bounds. Keep your legs together, right?
Don't step down.
The landing.
The landing. Don't step on the landing.
You can't sidestep or...
But, like, I mean the moves, like the really good moves versus, like, the okay moves. I can't tell.
Unless there's, like, a fall or something.
I agree, though. I mean, yeah. Like that, oh, she spun around with her leg up in the air. That was... You know, the way that she did it was so much better than that other girl. Because of
that's when you rely on the commentators, because they'll tell you,
really
like, this is, like, a really the most difficult move or blah, 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 or, like, this is, you know, the rating, difficulty rating.
Also with the scoring, because they've gone from the perfect 10 rating to, like...
16 or something?
Which I do not understand at all.
Now, that the gymnastics, is that just the floor routine, or does that include the pommel horse?
No, they do... Do ladies do the pommel horse?
And the vault.
I was talking about this with my brother. So they don't do the pommel horse
uneven
or the
bars.
Rings,
yeah,
right?
They don't do
the do the uneven bars.
Yeah.
And they do the floor and that narrow thing that you walk on.
Balance beam?
The balance beam. Do they do the ribbons?
No,
not in that
I can't wait for the ribbons.
I like it a lot, too.
Yeah.
There's something, like, so not sport about it. It's like,
but
this
it's
is
hard,
not a sport.
Though. I bought my niece from the dollar store, like, they were like little ribbons, and I bought them for her because I wanted to try them because I love the ribbon event.
Okay,
it's really
weird.
Hard. It's really hard to make them, like, do the twirly thing.
The rings is like a crazy competition. Like, how hard that is. That's intense. Those guys are just like beasts. Like, that's crazy.
Every morning
they're really small and really strong.
They're not really small. A lot of them are huge.
Short, I mean.
No, not even short.
They're just built.
They are.
They're just really muscly.
In the park across the street, every morning there's a guy that practices. He like swings the bars over the tree.
Yeah.
And practices every morning, and it's insane how muscular he is. Well, the Iron Cross, the one where you like put your arms out and just hold yourself.
Well, when they're going parallel to the ground, though, you know, when they do that like plank looking thing where they're holding onto the rings and then they're parallel to the ground, that is crazy.
And it's not just the
strength that it takes to
get into that move. It's all the stabilizer muscles that are needed to hold it steady is the crazy part. Yeah. The rings. And Jackie, what have you watched so far?
Oh, gosh. I've watched a lot. I really like the Olympics. I watched the artistic men's and women's gymnastics. There's been a lot of gymnastics. I watched the swimming, women's and men's, like individual and the relay ones of also swimming. I watched a little men's water polo today, which was really boring. I found it really boring.
Yeah.
I watched a little volleyball. I want to see more volleyball. I like the volleyball. I saw the weightlifting, the bronze medalist woman from Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
I heard weightlifting. Saw that. Can't remember what else I've been watching. Just kind of on and off. Like, I don't know. I don't really enjoy watching the sports that are shown all the time, like tennis or basketball or soccer. Like, I don't really watch those ones because they're on all the time, and like they're just kind of boring to watch because I could just watch that all year. I like watching the ones that are like, oh, the Olympic, like this is different than we normally watch.
Did you watch the Canadians won a bronze today in synchronized diving?
Yeah, I only saw the, like, you know, all the reviews of it or the reviews.
I believe they're called highlights, Jackie.
Highlights? I don't know. What is the, no, but the...
Like the, I don't know what you mean.
Slow motion, what is that called? The...
Slow motion.
Okay, whatever. Never mind.
I saw some of the boxing. That was pretty good. Canada's doing okay.
Women's or men's? Boxing.
Men's.
Yeah.
Oh, rowing too. Rowing is like
Canada's
thing.
They went right to the finals. They did so well.
Sweet.
No, they always do well in rowing. Yeah. That's like one of our good summer sports.
That's like our gold.
Yeah.
That and trampolining?
Yeah. Well, no. They've never
won gold.
Not the gold. With Karen Coburn.
With Karen,
as we've established, not Cockburn. Who?
Now you interviewed three Olympians this year.
Four.
Who did you interview?
So Karen Coburn, the trampolinist.
Yeah.
And then her teammates. That is Jason Burnett. And he's the male one. And then there's obviously, and then there's Rosie McLennan, who's she's like 10 years younger than Karen, but they all train in the same gym. And then I also interviewed Zofie Bales. She's a 10-kilometer open water swimmer. It's like the marathon swim that they do out in the lake. Like, it's not in the...
I had no idea there was such a...
It's a new event. The first one was in the last summer Olympics that they started doing this.
Wow.
And it's really hectic. It's like they're all swimming on top of each other in a lake, and like people get like black eyes and like scrapes and stuff, and like they all have to cut their nails really short because they scratch and stuff.
Did you hear about the person who had to quit swimming across Lake Ontario?
Yeah,
last week?
It was an old man... It's a 52-kilometer swim across Lake
Why
Ontario.
Did he have to quit? He just got too tired?
Got injured, I think, his shoulder.
And apparently it's one of the hardest swims in the world.
5 people are doing it this summer, I think, so far.
Yeah. Wow. 52 kilometers. Yeah. I bike 52 kilometers, and I am completely exhausted.
Yeah.
And that's going, like, 30 kilometers an hour.
Well, this takes so long, right? How long does it take to swim across that?
I think they said 24 hours.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just a full day of swimming.
Because I know they start, they usually start at night, like when it's already dark. And then can't really see them until the daytime.
That's creepy.
That must be cold, too.
It's really scary, too.
It is scary.
Swimming at night in the big Lake Ontario.
But granted, there's safety boats all around you.
It doesn't matter.
The boats guide them.
It's still
scary. Yeah.
I don't like underwater sea creatures, which is funny because that Hungarian, she's from Hungary originally, but then she moved to Canada when she was young. She was telling me that she's terrified of underwater, like, sea creatures and like fish and anything that could be alive underneath her, and yet she's swam in like all these oceans and lakes around the world, and it's like her driving fear. So I'm like, that's kind of crazy that this is your sport.
Yeah,
that
face
you
your
excel
fears
in. Yeah, but she's still scared like every time, so it's like, I don't know, it's just like a, maybe that's like part of the adrenaline or who knows. She's just swimming to get away from, and I'm like, me too, I am terrified of fish.
Last year I was at the cottage with my girlfriend, and we are in the lake water.
Yeah.
And she, I guess there's little minnows that sort of swim around and bite.
Yeah.
Kind of nibble at your legs.
Yeah.
And she was in the water. She just stopped dead and was like, something just bit me. And without a moment's notice, I ran to shore and left her in the water. Ditched her.
What a gentleman.
Well, I told her, I'm like, listen, if there's something that's big enough that's going to eat you, me helping you is not going to do anything. That's going to put us both at risk. I saved my life.
Oh, so you're a logical hero.
So I'm a logical hero.
If if it makes sense.
He's following the law of the seas.
But it's true, though. It's that unknown, like, who knows what could come up.
You'd be that one of the guys, the boyfriends jumping in front of the girlfriends in the movie theater shooting. That'd be you.
Jackie, I believe that's too soon. No, it's not too soon.
We already talked about it.
But three guys, they risked their lives. They gave their lives.
Yeah.
That's
not
amazing.
Gave their lives.
Yeah.
But pretty impressive.
Without hesitation, too. I mean, that's the key is that...
Well, exactly. Like yours, instinct.
Instinct.
So you running out of the lake.
My instinct is cowardice, and their instinct was heroism. I think that's... Yeah.
What I'm getting at. What I'm getting at over here.
That's great. And so I think there's at least another 10 days left of competition. What are you looking forward to, Jackie?
I want to see the trampolinist, but I think that's on Saturday, and I might be at my cottage, so I might have to just watch the highlights of that. But I really want to see that. I don't know. Nothing really in particular. I just like watching it all the time. Like, I don't know, you know? Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Not one sport in particular that I love.
Mike, what are you looking forward to?
I want to see the amputee.
Oh, yeah. That's
from South Africa.
Yeah.
I don't know his name. The man who is an amputee would be correct. Language. I want to see him run because I'm interested in that whole thing.
Yeah, those are like the carbon fiber.
Yeah, he's got special running legs.
Well, he's also competing in the Paralympics, though.
I know he is. Well.
So that's kind of funny. People were like a little upset by that because they're like, it's not really fair that he gets to compete.
Kind of double dipping.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though. In the Paralympics, are the people he's racing against, do they have the same legs as him?
I think so.
I was wondering about that, too.
So then he must be really good.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is
because,
that he's faster.
Yeah, there's all this kind of controversy surrounding it about, like, it's giving him an unfair advantage.
Absolutely. I wonder if they, because those, the carbon fiber legs, or I don't know if they're made of carbon fiber, but they have enough flex to them. I wonder if they had to approve the amount of flex, because the more flex.
I know they looked into how much it was, yeah.
And you think that that would give him an advantage.
But you think there would be more men that would have qualified for regular, you know what I mean, that would be faster than normal people if they with those legs. Like, this is not like new
legs.
Well,
Paralympic athletes.
He must be really good.
Paralympic athletes also don't have the resources that Olympic athletes have.
Yeah.
So they're kind of limited, too, on how much they can dedicate to training and so on and so forth. I know in 2007, some governing body did... hire like scientists to like see like what kind of advantage these legs gave the guy.
Leg scientists, yes.
I don't know, some kind of mechanical scientists, and they said it did give him an advantage, a distinct advantage over people with regular running legs. But then he's still allowed to compete because that test, for some reason, they only tested in a straight line, not going around an oval, which is what you do in 400 meters.
Yep.
Weird they can make that mistake. I think it's pretty important how they decide to handle this for the future.
Absolutely.
Because it's setting a precedent for future competitors in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. It is, but it's not to say, though, that the reason that they're setting this precedent is because they're changing their mindset. I think it really has to do with the state of engineering and technology.
Yeah.
That
science.
Allowed, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. In future years, we're going to have more situations where... science allows...
We're going to have robot legs.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's going to eventually come to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to kind of figure out where people stand on these things.
If you had a choice, if they said to you, you can have regular legs or robot legs...
Well, I don't know. I'd want to know the specifications of the robot legs.
Super jumping, super running, but you have no sensation.
Any other drawbacks?
How high up on the leg? Like full leg? Like hip down?
Well, it doesn't affect your reproductive organs.
Great.
But, yes.
So full leg.
Like full leg.
How high, how fast can I jump?
That's a good question, because if you run too fast and fall, then you're going to be, more chance you could get injured. So I don't know, like 30, 40 kilometers an hour.
Are they aesthetically pleasing?
Well, you're wearing pants.
Does it use
not
less,
always.
Does
not
it use
in the
less
summer.
Energy than normal running?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm all for it.
Robo legs.
See, but that's the kind of thing you have to think about.
I think it's a lot more difficult for women because women have attractive legs. Men don't have attractive legs. Men
can
in
be
general.
Attractive robo legs.
But men in general, our bodies are gangly and gross. Women have beautiful bodies. I think the decision would be tougher. Jackie, robo legs.
I don't know. I don't think I'd want robo. I don't want to be half robot. Half human.
I wouldn't make you half. I think you're only
half robot.
If it's your mind.
Half human.
If it's your soul.
No,
robotic
if
soul.
Half my body is robotic, that makes me half.
No.
Yeah.
I think if it's only part of your mind that's a robot, you're still controlling your body, regardless of.
It's still
so you're
mechanical.
Saying, you're saying that guy, because he's an amputee, double amputee, he's half a person?
No, oh, my goodness.
But he's
is
only,
that what you're saying,
he's only
Jackie?
Knee down. He's only knee down.
So he's three quarters of a person? That's even worse.
I didn't say that he's three quarters of a person. I just said he is three quarters.
So I know whose side I'm not on.
And so you've heard it here first, Jackie only cares for white people with legs. White people with legs.
Okay, white?
I don't know.
He's white, the South African.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, no. I was trying to make you sound like a racist as well.
I know what you're trying to do. Anyway, moving on, I think we should talk a little bit about the uglier side of the Olympics.
Which is, I know what you're talking about, the pants for the women's
oh,
volleyball
no.
team.
No, that actually isn't what I was talking
the
about.
The shorts that other...
Not shorts.
Not shorts, like spandex, bikini bottom,
yeah.
dental
no,
floss.
We were watching the women's volleyball a bit earlier, and the Canadian women chose ugly black spandex
yoga pants.
Pants. Not even yoga pants, just...
They're yoga pants.
They're kind of yoga
They look
pants.
Like those TNA pants.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or Lululemon.
Or what, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Maybe.
If you're more definitely high
not,
class.
Definitely not the same material. And if you're more high class. And but no, that's not what I was talking about. I was just talking about how like the controversial side of some of these Olympics, like all the drug talk and like the doping rumors, and especially with that Chinese swimmer that I was telling Mike about. Yu Shiwen, I guess her name is. She's like the 16-year-old, you know, swimming prodigy that's cleaning up at the Olympics right now, and just
yeah.
like some IOC official made a comment that it was suspicious and that like that he thinks doping's involved, and so then now there's been a lot of like talk about, you know, whether this is the case when an athlete wins by that much consistently, whether, you know, something else is happening. And they were trying to use a lot of examples in the past of like when, you know, someone's standing out that much, what that entails. And usually, I guess what they're saying was that a lot of the time it comes out much later on that they were using drugs. So.
It's funny you mentioned that. Let me just get off topic for 1 second. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge cheating scandal on a poker site a few years ago. And the reason they found out about this is from statistics, which is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. because when you get to the top level, the difference between first, second, or third, it's so minuscule that you're right. You know, what sets somebody apart is so small compared mm-hmm. to second, third, fourth, fifth. And the reason they found out about this cheating is because this person had won so many more hands. And on a graph, he was like way up here.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know what? This is not right. So I can understand how officials would, you know, looking at the statistics, say, okay, she's so much better than everyone else, and they are all at the top of their game. Maybe there's something else.
Yeah, and that's out there.
Funny you brought that up, because I was actually just reading about it like yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing in that situation was it was the other players who actually had to complain before something was done about it. The betting site knew about it, but they weren't there to regulate.
Well, somebody inside the site was in collusion with mm-hmm. this person, and they were feeding him the hands, so he knew what the hands were.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But the IOC is there to govern the athletes. So in my opinion, yeah, they should investigate anyone who falls under their suspicion. I don't know why they have to talk about it, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think that that's, like, I don't know, putting a damper on the Olympics or, I don't know, stealing away her victory?
Well, yeah, because what if it turns out everything's on the level and this guy was...
But
well,
like,
but that's another thing, though. They're saying that, like, it's become so hard to, you know, to detect... These new kinds of drugs with the masking and all that
and
stuff.
It's
so
unfortunate that,
that
they have to take that role
mm-hmm.
Because of doping, because people are using things like growth hormones and, you know, and they're continually using new types of...
Yeah, and stuff in the blood to, like,
air,
like, add more oxygen and things like that.
If everybody was just honest and, you know...
I know, but unfortunately, that's kind of what Mike was saying earlier about, like, you know, how the competition has changed and it's become so much more...
Yeah, it's like, I don't care if China or U.S. gets more medals or if we get more medals. But, I mean, I'd like to think that none of our athletes are cheating, or I'd hope that none of them are.
But then you think about, like, how much pressure is on especially athletes from, like, China or Japan, and that, like, it's severe. Like, they actually have a lot more pressure in some of these countries. And so then it makes you wonder, like, I don't know, like, just how seriously they are taking it. And
my feeling is it's not the pressure that's causing them to do drugs. It's the money involved. Because
which is still
pressure. Olympics is a big business. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though it's supposed to be amateur, not-for-profit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. These guys in China and those countries, they stand to make a lot of money from doing well in the Olympics. And so do a lot of other people if the athletes in their country do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at Michael Phelps. He did, you know, he did so well at in the Beijing Olympics that all the sponsorship deals, he made a ton of money off of those. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's all about the sponsorship deals.
But there's like personal, like national pride kind of pressure is what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know if you've seen, you were watching a bit of the gymnastics and the men's gymnastics. There's like this one art, like in the artistic gymnastics for the team, there's this one Japanese gymnast who's like cleans up at the world ones and like he's amazing. And he, and the Beijing, he missed the bar and let his whole team down. And he was like, there's an interview with him from before, and he was talking about how like most mortifying day of his life, and that he hit rock bottom after that, and like wasn't able to forgive him. Like it was just like a huge depression after that, because of like how much pressure and how much, you know what I mean. Like he lost it for his country and all this thing. So like,
but
I don't
know. That's a reason not to get into doping, is the shame that you feel if you get found out.
If you get found out, but this is just a regular mistake. So maybe he would make that mistake.
A lot of people don't get found out.
Exactly. That's what they're talking about.
Who's that American runner? The female
Mary something.
Yeah, like Marianne or Mary something.
Yeah.
She went for so long not getting found out.
Mary Magdalene. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was her. And even after she retired, they still didn't know. They found out like years later.
They found out because she was caught up for some other drug, and she just admitted
that
she
found
been
drugs
doping. So she just like admitted it like years and years later that yeah.
They
like,
found a stash of needles in the manger. And that's how they knew.
Still
that's
going.
That's
still
a different Mary. That's not Mary Magdalene.
Oh, is it not?
No.
No, that was she was like a friend of Jesus.
Well,
wasn't
I know, but she
like the other woman.
That's where she hid the drugs, though.
I think
is what
that
I'm
was
saying.
The idea. Yeah.
She tried to plant it on the baby Jesus, and as we all know, in Leviticus 14:10.
Leviticus.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, let's move forward. I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. As far as funding, Canada, we don't have a crazy amount of funding from the government.
No.
I want to say
it's like mainly like private sponsorships and other things that they get. Like,
but the question is, do you think athlete funding should be tied to performance?
No.
No.
What do you mean tied to performance?
Like, if they do well, they should get more funding?
Yeah.
No.
No, because they're not going to do well because they don't have the funding to begin with.
What about in preparation? Because you have, you know, these athletes, they don't just train all year. They travel around the world and entering different.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like say if you're thinking of two different athletes, someone has complete like full time job type like funding, and they can just make this like their full time job in another country. How much better they're going to be than say you know some athlete that has like. You know, subpar funding that also, you know, has to maybe has a family or like needs to have a part-time job or something on the side,
well,
and they can't devote all
I
their
time
to training.
I guess I see where you're coming from, because that's how they do it in other countries, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Okay. So, no, I still don't like it, and I don't know. I'm glad that Canada doesn't have to give our, you know, athletes like tons of money to train and all that stuff.
No, I know.
Because
it does make a difference, though.
Valuable to our country or whatever, sure. But I don't think it's more important than other things, mm-hmm. which maybe countries like China are ignoring so that they can help out their athletes a little better.
Yeah.
Like, just because they won the most medals, I don't really look at them as a model country.
They also have a lot more people.
They do. Mm-hmm. So that works for them and against them, I guess.
I think the very fact that we're there representing Canada... You know, how many athletes do we have there? 250?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, I think that alone is great.
You know, the award money is like, it's like 10,000 for bronze, and then like, was it 25,000 for silver, and 30,000 for?
Don't know.
I think it's something like that for gold, which is like way smaller though. I think in like than some countries. I think some countries it's like ridiculous amounts
really?
That they give their athletes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about the prize money.
Yeah, I know, but like, I just think that that's like different. But the States is the exact same as Canada too. I think theirs is like the same, but it's just interesting, you know, how much more incentives or like how much more pressure that they like, you know, how much more seriously I guess other countries take it than others.
So I think we're gonna wrap things up here soon. I wanted to find out, Mike, if, and I'm gonna ask this to both of you, if you could go back in time to when you were a child and really give yourself to a sport and be in the Olympics. Which one would it be, Michael? So go back to your 4 years old, and you can, like, you have the mind of...
Olympic sport.
Olympic sport.
Summer? Well, summer?
Well, summer, let's say summer, because the summer Olympics are on. What would you compete in?
Maybe, like, skeet shooting.
Skeet shooting.
Or gymnastics.
Or gymnastics.
Yeah. I was, I like to climb on stuff when I was a kid, and I was very flexible. So I think I would have done well.
So if they had the jungle gym at the Olympics, then maybe you'd enter that.
I would take gold in jungle gymming. But alas, my training never came through, so.
Jackie, same question to you. If you could go back to 4 years old, so 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and you could dedicate yourself.
10 years ago.
to a sport. You have the mind of yourself today. Pushing your acting as the drive.
So I'm a 4 year old with the brain of a 24 year old.
Yes.
Okay.
Which makes like life awkward in general, but you can dedicate yourself to an Olympic sport for your country.
I would say swimming, like the swimming races.
The swimming races.
Yeah, because I was like a little fish in like ever since I was a kid. I was last person out of the water. Like I love swimming, so and I always did swimming. I just never did it competitively. So and I did lifeguarding all that stuff. So I really liked the water. So I feel like. If I had bigger feet, yeah. I would have been a really good swimmer.
Does that make a big difference?
I think it does. I think for the kicking and stuff, it actually, like a lot of those swimmers have huge feet, and mine are...
You also have to be tall.
Kind of on the abnormally small side. So I would need bigger feet.
Okay. I'd buy that.
What about you, Matt?
You know what? Probably cycling, because I love cycling. But I love cycling now.
I could see you being a rower. I don't know why.
A rower?
Doing the rowing thing.
I feel like you a team like... sport?
No, yeah. You don't like...
I'm not much of a team player.
Maybe just the two? The two-person rowing?
The two-person rowing.
Isn't there one-person rowing?
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
And there's canoeing, too.
Or kayaking. You could be a kayaker.
The one-mile canoe race. It's happening in a few days. And I made that up. There is not a canoe race.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, you know, it might
be... There's kayaking. I assumed, why wouldn't there be canoeing?
Yeah. Maybe sure the trampoline. I love flipping and jumping on trampoline. When I go to my aunt's house in Burnaby, BC, I am on her trampoline as much as possible. So, yeah, I think we should wrap things up here.
Can I just make one comment?
After we get a comment from Mike.
If I was a 4 year old with the brain of a 24 year old,
yep.
I'd become the world's greatest con artist.
How would you do that?
So easy.
Anyone would believe you because you're 4 years old.
And you could look so sweet and get access
like,
everywhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, but how would you get money out of people with?
Oh, I'd trick them. I'd be like, can I see inside the bank vault?
And can I see your credit card? It's shiny and pretty like
some
that.
Some plastic explosive in there. Yeah, credit card theft.
I feel like a 4 year old wouldn't have the dexterity to plant. Plastic explosives.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the dexterity of a 24. You still have the body of a 4 year old.
I know that would be a big. That's what would make it so interesting.
Yeah.
I think I got the idea for my next novel.
Ew. You'd be like a what? Creepy 4 year old if you had a 24 year old boy's, like, man's mentality.
Yeah.
Horny 4 year old.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys. This has been a great show. I think we all like the Olympics, so hopefully Canada will get even more medals. I think they want a place in the top 10, which we're already trending better than expected. So go Canada. Thank you for tuning in, and come back next week. We will choose a whole new topic.
You want to give the email quickly?
And the email, if you have questions or concerns, Michael, you have my back. It's topicalitypodcast@gmail.com. That's topicalitypodcast@gmail.com.
And if you have corrections?
Or corrections, send us your comments or questions. Just send me an email and say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, say hi to myself or Mike or Jackie. So from all of us, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.